"My lords," she allowed her voice to turn chiding. "Does anyone around this table pretend to truly believe that Harald of Caris intended to invade Coruscant? That he had some sort of malign intent to seize control of all the world's commerce?" "With your permission, Your Majesty," Duke Halbrook Hollow said, keeping his voice almost painfully neutral, "that seems to be exactly what's happening now." "Yes, Your Grace," she acknowledged, "it does indeed seem to be what's happening now. But the critical word is now, is it not? Caris has just beaten off the attack of no less than 5 navies, including our own, and King Caleb is obviously aware of the pretext upon which the attack, and the resultant death of his father," she let her eyes bore into her uncle's, "was orchestrated by the Knights of the Temple Lands. What Caris never sought to seize in time of peace may very well have become something she has no option but to seek in time of war, if she hopes to survive the attack upon her." "Please, Uncle Bertram," she thought pleadingly behind the confident facade of her calm eyes and firm mouth, "I know what you're thinking. Please support me in this." The Duke opened his mouth, then closed it once more. "The plain truth of the matter, my lords," she continued, as her uncle backed away from the challenge, for the moment at least, "is that I was constrained against my will to attack a peaceful neighbor. And another plain truth is that the attack which was intended to overwhelm and destroy Caris failed miserably. Those truths, among others, are what King Caleb sent Earl Greyharbor to Chisholm to discuss." The distant sound of a hunting wyvern's piercing whistle coming through the council chamber's window was plainly audible in the intense silence which hovered above the table. All eyes were riveted to Charlian, and one or two faces were undeniably pale. "My lords, the Knights of the Temple Lands decreed Caris's destruction. They failed. I believe they will continue to fail. And I believe that if they don't fail, if they can decree the destruction of one realm for arbitrary reasons of their own, they can and will decree the destruction of others. I used the example of a ship at sea, and I chose it deliberately for many reasons. We've navigated through many a storm together since that day I first came to the throne, but the hurricane which is about to sweep across the face of Safehold is unlike any other storm we have ever seen. There will be no safe harbor against it, my lords. It must be met and survived at sea, in the very teeth of its thunder and lightning and wind. Never doubt that. Never forget it. And my lords," her eyes were hard as polished brown agates, "never forget who set that storm in motion." Duke Halbrook Hollow's shoulders tightened and his jaw clenched. He'd been dismayed enough when she refused to hand Greyharbor to Tiang, but he'd swallowed it. And so had Tiang, although the Harchong-born Bishop Executor's fury had been obvious. Unfortunately for him, he'd demanded that she surrender Greyharbor to him, as Mother Church's representative in Chisholm, without reflecting upon the fact that, as Charlian herself had just stressed, it was the Knights of the Temple Lands, and not the Church of God Awaiting, which had declared war upon Caris. Without specific directions from Zion and the Temple, Tiang had been unwilling to abandon the legal fiction that there was a difference between them. "Which doesn't mean anyone in the entire world believes there is," she told herself grimly, watching her uncle's expression and body language. "I'm quite certain all of you have guessed that King Caleb sent Earl Greyharbor to us with the proposal of an alliance," she continued, speaking clearly and unhurriedly. "He's already returned our warships, such of them as survived the battle to which we were ordered to commit them, at any rate, and he's pointed out, with reason, that Chisholm and Caris have far more in common when it comes to threats and enemies than could ever divide us."
"Your Majesty,
I beg you to think most carefully about these matters, Halbrook Hollow said, meeting his niece's eyes. You've been very careful to refer only to the Knights of the Temple Lands, and no one in this chamber can doubt the reason you have. Yet it isn't the knights to whom Corris has bidden defiance. It's Mother Church herself. Whatever his reasons, and however warranted he may believe himself to be, Caleb hasn't restricted himself to denouncing the attack launched upon him. No, Your Majesty. He's seen fit to defy Mother Church's authority to name her own archbishops. He's accused Mother Church herself of corruption and tyranny and betraying the will of God. He's informed the Grand Vicar himself that Corris will never again submit to the authority of Mother Church. Whatever justification he may feel he has, whatever justification we may feel he has, he's surely gone too far when he threatens the sanctity and supremacy of God's own church. He started to say something more, then cut himself off with a hard, tight shake of his head. It was a sharp, abrupt gesture, and silence gripped the council chamber once again in its wake. But now that silence was brittle, broken into fragments and heaped in the corners of every counselor's mind.